We are continuing this morning to talk about heaven, and on the back of your worship folders, you will see the 21st chapter of the Revelation of St. John, which is a continuation of the message that we had last week. Some things are constantly emphasized over and over again. One of them that we hear repeated again this morning is that there will be no tears in heaven. All the tears will be wiped away, and that's what we saw in the 7th chapter of Revelation also. I began to make a little list this week of the things to describe heaven. The things that are not going to be there are pretty helpful because they really explain to us what heaven is going to be. For instance, there will be no pride there. There will be no envy there. There will be no doubt there. There will be no fear there. There will be no guilt there. There will be no death there. There will be no suffering there. There will be no sorrow there. There will be no hate there. There will be no anger there. And you could go on and add your own list to explain what heaven's going to be is the absence of all those things. Because all those things that I just listed off there are the consequence of sin. And so the emphasis in the 21st chapter of the Revelation of John is that Jesus is going to make all things new, even a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we don't know exactly what all that means, but we can anticipate how fantastic it's going to be because there will be none of these problems of sin there. There will be no sin, and therefore none of the effects of sin. So it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Now, if we take a look at some of these things, the one that was a little confusing to me as I began working on this text was that it says very clearly there will be no sea there. And at first, that kind of startled me. I felt a little sad that there wouldn't be any of the seas or the oceans there, and it kind of troubled me a little bit. I thought I'd better do some research and see what this means. And so I began to read about the sea, and everything that I ended up finding on the sea was negative. And I began to see why this won't be in heaven. As a matter of fact, the sea down through history has been reported over and over again by generation and generation after generation as a place to avoid, to be away from. And the more I thought of that, the more I realized that's exactly true. The sea separates the continents. It separates people from people. In all likelihood, way back, it's possible that there weren't as many continents. I don't know too much about that subject, but the bottom line is that the sea does separate us. And so the emphasis is on the fact that there will be no separation of people in heaven. We will all be one organized unit, so to speak, all called the children of God. And you remember how last week in the 7th chapter of the Revelation of John, how it talked about those people coming from every generation, every tribe, every race, from all the peoples all over the world, that they will be one in this multitude before the throne of God. And as I was working on that this week, that thought kept coming back to me, and it reminded me of an illustration many, many years ago in my ministry when I was on a radio station answering questions that people would phone in. And there was a phone call from some lady. I remember it as if it happened today. And we were talking about the fact that there will be all kinds of people in heaven. And she called, very nasty voice, very quarrelsome type attitude. And she said, "Do you think there will be blacks in heaven?" And I said, "Why, of course there will be. That's part of God's creation. There will be every color, every race. There'll be red and so on." And then I realized, you know, in her question, it was so antagonistic. I said, "I hope you don't think white is God's favorite color." I said, "In fact, white is not even a color. It's the absence of all color. And it's probably the poorest color you could ever hope to have." And I then went on. I thought I had an opportunity here to teach this woman something. And so I said, I think the two favorite colors of God are blue. Look at all the sky. Most of the time it's blue. Look at all the water in the world. Three quarters of the earth is water. That's blue. And I said, I think the other favorite color of God's is green. Look at all the green trees. Look at all the leaves on the trees that are green. Look at all the grass everywhere. It's all green. And I said, I think, ma'am, you need to start becoming less prejudiced and get used to the different colors. Maybe in heaven, I don't know for sure, but maybe all of us will be a light blue-green. And there was total silence. And then click, you know, she hung up. But we're going to see all things different, all things new. Jesus said, I will make all things new. That's not just our bodies. That's everything Jesus is talking about. Now, one of the things there, after I got through trying to figure out the absence of the sea and what it meant, and think about that. No one ever stays at sea. You get home, you get off the water, unless you're at the bottom of the sea, if you die out there or something. But so there will be no sea. I can imagine there'll be lakes and things like that there. I don't know. It's going to be fantastic. You know how often I've talked about waterfalls there. I think that's going to be one of the joys of heaven, I believe, seeing and listening to waterfalls. There will be no tears there. You know, one of the reasons for this is that there will be total unity there. Now, the scriptures talk about the Christian church, that it is to be in fellowship. It is to have a oneness of mind. You remember how Jesus prayed for the church, John 17, that there be one spirit, that there be one mind, that there is to be a fellowship and a love there. The point is, there's unity there. We think alike, we act alike, we praise God alike. Now see, the problem, whenever you see a problem in a church or a congregation, it's always that sin has entered in, disunity. Some group is having a spat with another group, or some group is jealous of another group. Isn't it the same thing? Isn't that true also of families? What happens to break up families? There's a lack of unity. Father and mother do not agree. Children and parents do not agree. And so there's a disunity. There is a ripping apart. There is a separation. See, that will not be in heaven. In heaven, we will all be of one opinion, one goal, one action. We will all be praising God. One of the joys of heaven is going to be that we will be in complete unity. Isn't that fantastic? How we would long to have that here on earth if we could only keep that unity in our churches, in our organizations, in our families, in our homes. There would be so much more peace. And that's what God is going to do for us in heaven. There will be complete unity. Now it also says there will be no pain. I didn't spend a whole lot of time on this. I thought I would, but I didn't, because it got so demoralizing and depressing. I looked up a couple instances of overwhelming pain. Pascal, who was one of the great leaders of the world, so to speak, he was a mathematician, had so much pain in his life. He wrote in terms of his life that from the age of 18, from the time when he was 18, he did not have a single day in his life that he was not in intense pain. In fact, they would say in his office, he would lie on the floor, writhing in pain. All day long, they would try to rest his head on the rung of a chair to give him some relief. Didn't help. He's an example in terms of the world of constant, intense pain. I also looked up another guy, and I don't know him at all. His name I jotted down F.W. Robertson. I don't know if anyone even wants to look that up. It's probably not worth it. But they say that his pain was intense. It was just overwhelming. Now, that's back in the days. I don't know what date that was, but back in the days where they probably didn't have pain control to the extent that we have now. But quite frankly, I don't know whether I should tell you this or not. You know that I was a hospital chaplain, and when we use morphine or some drug to deaden pain, that actually, in most cases, becomes the source of death. Now, no one is ever told that. And no one ever sues a doctor for that, quite frankly, because they're tickled to death that their loved one has finally died. If you see someone writhing in pain, and it's a 24-hour thing, and morphine won't even kill the pain, what usually happens in those last few hours, in those last few days, that brings about a death is an extra shot of morphine. Doubling up the morphine produces immediate death. And I would say that's 90% the case of what happens. And why aren't the doctors sued? It's called euthanasia. The point is very clear, because everyone there is thankful to God. Thank God the person is now out of their pain. Now, the point in this text is very clear. There will be no pain in heaven. Now, just think of what that means. Just comprehend of what a beautiful statement that is. There will be no sorrow. There will be no tears. There will be no disunity. There will be no separation. There will be no problems, and there will be no pain. Do you see how Christ is saying, I will make all things new? Thinking about these things, I was wondering how we could close this thought in a way that would make sense to all of us. And I thought about a little child. You know, I'm talking about a little 2-3-year-old, you know. Children can be pretty happy, can't they? You know, they can be having fun, chasing around, running around, being swung by the arms around out in the lawn and so on. It doesn't take a whole lot to make a little child happy. You don't even have to celebrate their birthday to get them happy. They can be happy almost any time. I think that's a beautiful illustration. Now, what happens, as a matter of fact, I'm sure you have, with me, had the experience of, it's a real shame to see that they have to grow up. Don't you kind of hate that? If they could only stay that happy and that wonderful and that innocent, but they grow up and they get into school, and someone hits them, or someone treats them badly, or laughs at them, or mocks them. And pretty soon, as they're growing up, they begin to see, hey, there's a lot of evil in this world. There's a lot of hatred in this world, a lot of jealousy, a lot of suffering, a lot of problems. And they begin to learn how to suffer. You know, it just struck me, if we can think back to those happy, happy days where everything is perfect. That's what heaven is. That's what heaven is. No sorrow, no tears, no separation, no disunity, no fear, no guilt, no sin, no death, no pain. It is being with God eternally in eternal joy. Amen.